Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, if you were to go to a mission conference or some kind of a meeting, some of the churches, they might assign you a certain message to each one of you, so you wouldn't, you know, just, you preach on this, you preach on this, you preach on this, and that is good because nobody steals your message. That's what the problem about preaching Friday and Saturday and Sunday, because Sunday to Thursday, your message is just about been used up. But so Brent last night, he went so long, he got touched on everything there was in the Bible, I think. So I'm just,
nothing left, bro.
Rather than find something else, I just figured I'd stick with all I had.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Paul says here, something very interesting. There's a spiritual battle going on.
Amen.
There's a battle going on that cannot be fought with carnal weapons. It cannot be fought with what man thinks of as a real powerful weapon. It can't be fought with man's devices. Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. We can't fight this battle with carnal weapons. I want to tell you not there's a spiritual battle going on. There's a spiritual battle going on in Mexico, here in San Antonio, and all over the world. We think about the spiritual battle, and a lot of times in the mission conference, we like to emphasize the foreign field. But I want to tell you, the spiritual battle is not confined to the world in Mexico.
Amen.
It's not confined to the world here in San Antonio. The spiritual battle is all over the place.
Amen.
It says here, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. And the devil is not just concentrating on one little world. He's concentrating on the whole place, on all this mess. He is fighting against God all over the place. And our battle is not just in one place. It's all over. We need to be careful that we don't think that the battle is only in a place like Mexico or a place like India. The spiritual battle is here in San Antonio. There's a battle going on every day of your life. And you better be prepared for that battle or you're not going to stand that evil day. A lot of people do not get prepared for that battle. You know, you think of a soldier that goes to war. He doesn't go to war. He doesn't go to fight with his gun in a suitcase. He doesn't go, you know, with his grenades, you know, under lock and key. And then when he gets to the battlefront, he's okay, folks, just a minute. I gotta get my stuff out here. I gotta get ready. He gets ready before he gets there. When he's on the way in the plane or in the truck, whatever, he's getting ready. He's loading his gun. He's getting his grenades where he can get to them, and he's ready to fight. Because if he isn't ready, when he hits that battlefield, when he hits that front, it's all over with. He's done with. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready for that battle. He didn't have his weapons ready. And too many Christians nowadays are like that. They're not getting ready for the battle before it gets there. They're thinking that, you know, that it's all right now, and then when the time the battle gets there, it just blows into pieces. And they can't stand that evil day. Paul said here, "Take unto you the whole armor of God."
Amen.
I find too many people nowadays are in the wrong battle. You ever seen people in the wrong battle? We got people all over the world that are fighting things that are not that important. They're fighting things that are not a spiritual battle. They're worried about communism. They're worried about world hunger. Or worried about poverty. Or whatever, some other social problem in the world. And they haven't seen, they haven't caught the vision of that spiritual battle going on. And they're so worried about things that are not important. And these other battles, they're not spiritual battles. They fight with carnal things. But the battle is spiritual.
Amen.
The battle is not against communism. The battle is not against hunger or poverty or lack of agricultural experience or whatever you may think of, that's not the problem. That's not the battle in this world. It's spiritual.
Amen.
Spiritual wickedness in high places. It says principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. We're talking about something that you can't deal with on your own. Something you cannot deal with without the help of the Lord Jesus. Something you cannot deal with just a little a sheet of doctrines or a certain formula for success. That's not going to cut it, my friend. You need some armor that's spiritual. You need some armor that'll help you stand in that evil day that only God can give you.
Right.
You notice he says, put on the whole armor of God. All of it. The whole armor of God. You know why? Because you may think, you know, well, I've got this and I've got this. The helmet, that's not, honestly, the helmet off, you know. It's kind of tight on me. I feel kind of hindered, you know. That's how I am with cowboy boots. I can't stand cowboy boots. I like to run around. I cannot run in cowboy boots, so I don't like cowboy boots. And you might think, you know, well, I got this and I got that. That is not important. That's just, you know, it's there, but I don't think I need it that bad. Let me tell you, my friend, whatever you're missing, whatever you're lacking in that armor, you're exposing yourself.
That's right.
You understand what I'm trying to say? You may be lacking the helmet and you're exposing one part of your body. You may be lacking something else. And the more you lack, the more exposed you are to the attack of the devil. The more exposed you are to be cut to pieces by the devil. We can't understand the wiles of the devil. It is the wiles. The wild, wildest, I was reading the dictionary. It says it's a trick. You know, a real cunning trick of the devil. We can't even begin to understand the thing the devil will use against us. It says over there in, I think it's Job, it says he was made without fear. He was made, the devil was made without fear. You think he's afraid of you because he's just a spiritual Christian? You think that just because you're so victorious and you just think you got the whole thing under control and he's going to be afraid of you? He isn't afraid of anything, the Bible says.
Right.
He isn't afraid. And you better have some armor of God, if you want to withstand that evil day when that devil comes to attack you. The whole armor of God. You need some armor. You need the whole thing. You need the whole set. You don't just want to buy an incomplete set. You want to buy the whole kit and caboodle, everything. Because if you're not, you're exposing yourself.
Amen.
It says here in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. You know what this world needs today? It needs conviction. I'm talking about Christians. Amen. Christians need convictions. I'm not talking about against eyeglasses with monogram on the side. I'm not talking about not wearing makeup or not wearing pants. Conviction about the truth.
Amen.
I mean, you got people all over the world, all over the United States that are born again Christians that they say, and they got convictions about everything in the world except truth.
That's right.
Truth is the last thing on the list.
Amen.
I mean, truth comes at the very end. I mean, they'll sacrifice truth for anything. They'll compromise truth for anything you want to do. They want unity. They want unity above all. I mean, truth is on the bottom of the list. When the Pope came. Now, he's not a Christian. Don't misunderstand me. The Pope came to San Antonio. And in the paper it said that he came to San Antonio. He was hoping that we could all strive together for the common faith. It's very interesting, isn't it? Guess what faith he's talking about? You think he's going to believe your faith? You think he's going to convert to Christianity? No, my friend. He wants to strive together. He wants to fool you into believing what he says. And he wants you to toss out your truth and believe his truth. And people are doing that. That's the sad part about it. The sad part about it is Christians are swallowing that hogwash. They're believing it. And they're casting out truth for everything under the sun. Unity with the Catholic Church itself and all kinds of people. God says we need some truth.
Amen.
He says, your loins girt about with truth. What does Solomon say in Proverbs? He says, buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen. That's right.
Buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever the truth costs, he said you need to buy it. The truth is going to cost you. He didn't say obtain the truth. He didn't say, you know, well, you know, receive it. He said, buy it. You need to buy the truth. It's going to cost you. You need to take a stand for the truth. It might cost you some things. It might cost your family. It might cost your friends. It might cost you the church you're going to. But you need to take a stand for the truth. You need to take a stand for what God says. And don't worry about what men say.
Amen.
Don't compromise truth for anything. Not unity, not love for somebody else, or anything you can think of. Truth is not worth compromising. Thomas said, buy it and don't you sell it.
Amen.
You buy it, and don't you ever get rid of it. I don't care how poor you get. I don't care how rough things get. Do not sell the truth.
Amen.
I'm sure you, Brother Lindell, and other people like you have taken a stand like that, have come to the point tonight and said, you know, maybe it's not worth it. You know, maybe I'll just sell out. Maybe, you know, things are looking tough. Things are looking rough. You know, maybe it's just not worth it, this stand that I took. No. Buy it, and
Amen.
Don't sell it.
Amen.
Don't sell it. He says, do not sell the truth. But how many people will sell it? How few will ever buy it? But if you bought it, don't you sell it.
Amen.
He says, don't you sell it. In John 8, 44. We need some armor that will hinder the devil.
That's right.
We don't need armor that won't bother him. We don't need armor like, you know, using a piece of cardboard for a shield. We need some armor that will hinder the devil.
Amen.
A piece of carpet won't cut it out in the battlefield. And neither will carnal weapons work in this spiritual battle.
That's right.
He says here, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
Amen.
You know what the devil hates? The truth.
That's right.
The devil hates
Amen.
The truth. He says he is a father of lies. He is a father of lies. And when you take a stand for the truth, that hurts the devil. That hinders the devil. And he can't get into you like he usually can against those that don't love the truth. Those who have no truth, they're wide open. They leave themselves wide open to the devil's wiles in getting in and hurting you. We need armor that will hinder the devil. And he hates the truth. He says there, having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, some people think that, you know, truth is not important as long as you just live the life and just be nice to everybody and love everybody and that's going to be how it's going to be. God is love, so we all love everybody. But I'm telling you, the truth is what saves. It says over there, he says, them that obey not the truth.
Yes.
That love not the truth. The truth is all, you look in your concordance tonight, look in your concordance, and you look up the word truth. It's not there 2-3 times. You're talking countless times. The Bible talks about truth being essential to salvation. But then he says you need the breastplate of righteousness. How many people have truth but no righteousness? How many people, they may have truth, they may have a good firm foundation. They may have some solid pillars to stand on, but their lives are pitiful. The church today needs some righteousness.
Amen.
The church today needs some good, clean living. I'm not talking about good, clean living to get you to heaven. We all that are Christians all understand. We know what we're talking about here. We need some Christians that will take a stand for righteousness. People will say, look, this is right and this is wrong.
Amen. Amen.
Was that saying your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying? You know? What you're living is not going to, is not in agreeing with what you're saying.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15:34. Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. How many people are asleep? Awake to righteousness. He says, come on, get out of your sleep. Awake to righteousness and sin not. How many people day after day are just fed up with Christianity because they see a certain hypocrite here, a hypocrite there. Now believe me, that's not gonna be an excuse in the end day. They're gonna be condemned for not believing the truth. But let me tell you, my friend, every day I find people that say, no, you know, a guy came in here the other day, he was preaching, but that guy, we all know him, we know he's a hypocrite, we know he's just saying things he cannot live. Awake to righteousness and sin not. He says Romans 13. He says 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness And let us put on the armor of light. We are the day.
Amen.
We're not of the night. You understand what I'm saying? The night is far spent. The night is behind us. The day is at hand. We're not of the night. We're of the day. He says, walk as children of light, doesn't he?
Amen.
Walk as children of light. He says, if you've risen with Christ, seek those things. I mean, if you're of the day, walk like you're of the day. Don't say you're of the day and then walk of the night. Awake to righteousness. What does James say? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only.
Amen.
Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. How about this? Be ye doers and not preachers only.
Amen.
Be ye doers and not just preachers. Oh, too many people out there are just preaching and preaching and preaching, and they may preach on. You may not have to watch them on TV. You may not have to hear them on the radio, but just get around their lives, read the magazines, and read, watch TV, and you'll find out that they're not doing what they're preaching.
Amen.
They're not practicing what they're preaching. He said, we need the breastplate of righteousness. That's what men see, your breastplate. That's what men see. When they see you, they'll see your breastplate. They want to see your breastplate. They want to see some righteousness. And they want to be able to say, look, this guy's preaching the gospel and he's living it too. It's not just vain words. It's not just empty preaching. This guy, what he preaches, he's doing. I'm with him all day at work. I see him all day. I know what I'm talking about. But too many times it's the other way around. You preach them once in a while, you witness to them, but then they can't see anything in your life that's worth having. They figure, you know what? Why should I be ridiculed as being a Christian when I can just live like that anyway and not be called a Christian? The difference between him and the other guy, the other guy is really good for being a Christian, but he doesn't live the life. So it's really a strike against the guy. Awake to righteousness. We need some spiritual armor. The devil's got us sidetracked. The devil sidetracks too many people. He's got them in the wrong battle. We need some spiritual armor. Spiritual armor for this spiritual battle.
Amen.
He says over there in Ephesians 6 again, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. People out there all every day, they have truth. They have righteousness, but they're not doing anything. Oh, they've got truth. They can quote you verse after verse after verse. They memorize scripture. They got the whole Bible all outlined. They got all the things all figured out. All the questions figured out. And they live a good life. And they're preaching against this. And they're preaching against that. Against sin. But they're not preaching the gospel of peace. They're worried about other things. They're worried about some certain verse in the Bible or some certain doctrine they can't get straight. But they're not getting out and preaching the gospel. You might call them these eternal students. Now, I'm not against studying. I think you ought to study. I wish I could study more than I do. But we need some people that'll get out.
Amen.
Get their feet shod.
Amen. That's right.
Your feet. I'm not talking about the radio waves. I'm not talking about just giving a track here. I'm talking about getting out and doing something. Whether it's door-to-door witnessing or visiting or preaching the gospel in the street or rescue mission or whatever your calling might be, you need to get your feet shod.
Amen.
With the preparation of the gospel.
Amen.
Romans 10. This one went over this a little bit. Romans 10 and verse 13. Very interesting. Paul says here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sounds nice, doesn't it? That's true. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Right.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
Says in Corinthians that God has ordained that by a foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't say that he's saving them by just your right living or your good living or just by you believing the truth. He said he's saving them by you preaching the gospel to them. He's saving them by you getting out and telling them the gospel.
Amen.
Telling them the story. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? It's not good enough just to live a good life. It's not enough to live a good life. I remember a couple years ago, Bill made a statement and I didn't think about. Over in Romans, he says, you know, that they have no excuse. These people that have not heard the gospel, they have no excuse. And sometimes they're like a pillow. You know, well, they have no excuse. But this idea of them being condemned, because God showed them that's enough to condemn them, but they can't get saved by it. They gotta hear the gospel.
Amen.
They can't get saved by just seeing the sun or seeing the trees or seeing creation. They gotta hear the gospel.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? They're condemned because God showed them and they didn't retain God. They didn't believe in God. But they can't be saved by just seeing creation. They've got to hear the gospel. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Too many Christians are out there doing nothing. Too many Christians are just content with just living a good life, going to church, praying once in a while, come to the special meetings, but they don't want to get out and do anything. They think that's for just the certain one God has called. God just calls certain men to preach the gospel. That's not how it goes. How shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? They got to hear. They can't just be saved by seeing. They've got to hear. It says over there, it says, faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God. They've got to hear the gospel to be saved. They can't be saved by seeing your good works. They've got to hear that Jesus saves. They've got to hear that they have a need. Oh, this conference has been good because we've been talking about how we got to show them their need. We can't just show them Jesus. We have to show them they need Jesus. We can't just show them, you know, He's a Savior. You don't believe in Him. They think, well, what's the use? What do I got to do? I don't believe in the guy. But they don't understand that they need Him. They don't understand that they need Him and that everything else they have is not good enough. They've got to know their need. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
People don't like preachers. The world doesn't like preachers. But God says that they can't hear without a preacher.
Amen.
They cannot hear without a preacher. Now, whether it's a preacher on the radio, I think it's a great ministry. Whether it's a gospel tract or whether it's whatever, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear on the street corners. They need to hear in the rescue mission. They need to hear in the nursing home. They need to hear all over the place. They need to hear the gospel or they can't be saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? 1 Corinthians 9. For though I preach the gospel, I'm sorry, 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He didn't say, you know, it's a take it or leave it, you know, just volunteer if you want to do it. He says, woe is unto me. I've got to do it. Why? Because they've got to hear. It's not just an idea, you know, well, some have the call and some don't have the call. God says, go and preach. He says, go ye and preach the gospel. Now, maybe you can't preach on a street corner. But you know what? There are people every day you meet that I will never, never see in my life. People at work that I never will meet. People on the street that I never get a chance to reach. People that you know that Lynn will never really reach them. He lives in your town. He goes to your church. But there's people he'll never ever see and never be able to get to. And you may be the only witness they have at work.
Amen.
Woe is unto me. We need that idea in our own hearts. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The fourth thing he says we need is faith. You know, faith sometimes is all you've got to hang on to. You know what I mean? Sometimes all you've got that's holding you up is faith. Sometimes when they're going against stuff, all you can do is say, look, it may not look good. I may not feel good. The whole world may be against me, but I believe God.
Amen.
I believe God.
Amen.
I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I believe God. And sometimes I know that's been what's taken me through. What's taking you through some hard times is faith. I'm not talking about just oh, I have faith in God, you know. I have a lot of faith in God. I'm talking about just believing what God says. Faith is believing what God says. It says here, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil is not playing tiddlywinks.
That's right.
The devil is not playing softball. He's playing hardball.
Amen.
He's using fiery darts against you. And you better get that shield up. That shield of faith. Not the shield of your own making. Not the shield of your own feelings or your own abilities. But the shield of faith.
Amen.
And that is believing what God says.
Amen. That's right.
You know, faith sees beyond our circumstances.
That's right.
Faith sees way past that. Because if you're just looking at what's going on and what your position is, you're not going to make it. Because things are going to come along, they're going to destroy you. And if your faith is not in what God says, you're not going to hold out. But faith sees way beyond that. Faith says, look, I don't know what's going on, but I believe God. It says over there in Hebrews about the Old Testament saints. He says they received the promise. I mean, they had faith, and they didn't receive the promise. They didn't receive it, but they looked way ahead, and they believed.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Amen.
Just believing God. Looking ahead and saying, God, I don't understand. I don't have it all figured out. And I may be doing some things wrong. I may not be exactly like I should. I may not be doing the work as like it should be done. But I believe you.
Amen.
I believe that you can show me. I believe you can show me where I need to change some things. Where I need to get my heart right. Or get my method right. Or whatever it may be. Believing God. It says it's a substance. In Hebrews 11, it's a substance.
Amen.
Faith is a substance. It's not just a cloud. It's not just something that's just kind of floating around. It's something you can grab onto.
Amen.
It's something you can hang onto and have and take you through those rough times. Take
right.
you through those cloudy days or those stormy days, whatever it may be. It'll take you through it because it's substance. It's substance. You know what faith also is? It's a victory.
Amen.
Isn't that saying in 1 John?
Right. Amen.
It says, this is a victory. And overcomes the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Our faith, well, it's ours, we have it. I mean, we believe. We know God gives it to us. But it's our faith in what God says. Our faith in what Jesus say? He says, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Didn't he say that? Do you believe it?
Amen.
If you don't, you don't have faith. Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And when all these things come upon you, when the devil throws his dart at you, and you ain't got your shield up, you know why? Because you're not believing what Jesus said. You're not believing what God said when he said, I have overcome the world. The devil came at Jesus one day and he tempted him several times. Maybe more than three, I don't know. And Jesus didn't say, well, do you know who you're talking to? No. He said, it is written. Three times. It is written.
Amen.
You can't defend yourself against the devil by thinking you're some great spiritual Christian. You can't defend yourself against the devil by just showing, hey, don't you know who you're talking to? This is Joe you're talking to. You shouldn't mess with me. No. You got to say, the devil, it is written.
Amen.
It is written. Look, you say, devil, I may be a sorry guy. I may be a bad husband. I may be a bad preacher. I may be a sorry Christian. But it is written.
Amen.
Get that shield up.
That's
it
right.
says it quenches the fiery darts.
Amen.
It quenches them. It just kind of like they just eats them up. And they can't do anything about it. Faith is the victory. It also says over there in Galatians, it says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you're not living by faith, you're in bad shape. Because you're exposing yourself.
That's right, man.
You know what I'm trying to say? You're exposing yourself. If you're not living by faith, then how many people do you know? How many Christians do you know that are defeated all the time?
That's right.
I mean, all the time. And then it comes along, they're defeated. It just wipes them out. They're shielded up.
That's right.
They're walking by sight. They're walking by their own abilities or their own strength. And it says, be strong in the Lord. The shield of faith. We walk by faith also. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
Amen.
Faith is believing what God says. He says also, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And the helmet on top. Here's what God sees. He sees the helmet. He sees your salvation. You know, sometimes the comfort we have in this daily walk is that God knows us. You know,
Amen.
God knows us. We're saved.
Good,
you know, like Peter, I know that's something that come up several times in meetings here and in Mexico. Peter, He denies the Lord 3 times. And Jesus says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" He says, "Look, God, you know all things. You know I love you. I may not be what I should be, but you know that I love you. You know my heart. You know all things. God sees you. He sees. He knows you're saved. That's the hope we have." He says in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "The helmet is the hope of salvation also." The hope of salvation. It's the hope we have. In this daily walk, it's the hope of salvation. And devil may try to take it away from you. He may say, "Oh, you're not saved. Oh, you call yourself a Christian. How can that be?" But you know, God's always seeing. He's seeing your helmet. He's seeing your salvation. And devil may say what he wants to say, but it's not going to change what God says or what God sees. The hope of salvation. Then he says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." It's very interesting. We've talked about the loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword. The previous things were defensive to guard you. But this is a sword.
Amen.
The sword is not going to protect you against something. I mean, you're not going to try to, stop very much with the sword. It's not going to stop very much. You need a shield. But the sword is offensive. The sword is what you use against the devil. And what you use against this spiritual wickedness. You use against all these principalities and powers. It's an offensive weapon.
Amen.
Notice it's a sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's a sword of the Spirit. It's what the Spirit uses. And what God uses to prick men's heart. What God uses to pierce men. It goes into them and divides. And it just pierces right through men. And you may think that the Bible is just some other book. You may have some crazy idea. The Bible is just some fairy tale like Mother Goose. But it's not a fairy tale. It's God's Word.
Amen.
And God uses it to pierce men's hearts.
That's right.
Talking about a spiritual battle, and some people may think that preaching is a carnal thing. They may think that, get on the street corner and just yell on top of your lungs like a crazy gringo. It's all carnal. They may think, we're just down there trying to draw attention to ourselves and try to look real eloquent and try to sound real great. That's not carnal. That's spiritual. Because the words that come out of your mouth on the street corner, if they're in God's Word, they're going to pierce into men's hearts.
Amen.
And they may not sound too good. They may be in broken Spanish. But let me tell you, God is able. He is able to take your words. He's able to take His Word and drive it into your heart. And it changes men's hearts. It brings conviction to them. It brings them to the knees when they realize that they need a Savior.
Amen.
Let me tell you, if there wasn't no power in this book, I'd quit. I mean, if I was just preaching like the Book of Mormon or something, I mean, what's the use? If there's no power in this book, you might as well hang it up and forget about it. But oh brother, let me tell you, there's power in this book.
Amen.
I mean, I can tell you, I'm sure everyone here can give me 5 or 10 or 15 or maybe 100 different incidents where they saw the power of this book. The power of the tract. The power of the printed page. The power of radio preaching. Or the power of street preaching. Or whatever you may be doing. Or whatever you may have been used to save you. There's power in His Word.
Amen.
We need to trust God's Word more.
That's right.
We need to trust it. I mean, say, "Look, God, I'm going to preach this Word. And may not sound good. It may draw stones. It may draw all kinds of burla. I mean, all kinds of, ridicule from people. It may draw all kinds of things. I'm going to trust it.
Amen.
I'm going to believe it.
Amen.
I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
Come what may, and trust that your word can go into men's hearts and do what I cannot do."
Amen.
That's a spiritual battle right there.
That's right.
In their heart. You can't touch their heart. You can't go in there and manipulate their heart. Only God can do that. How does He do it? He uses His Word. We need to trust it more. Too many people nowadays, too many so-called Christians, are doing everything they can to get around it. I mean, they're always scheming. Always using some kind of gimmick. Always some certain thing that will not be so harsh as God's Word. They want to just kind of slip in there, kind of get in there on the slide, and they don't want to cause problems. But let me tell you, God's Word is the only hope you've got.
That's
only God's Word can change a man's heart.
Yeah.
Only God's work going there into to a lost soul and show him as need of a Savior and bring him to his feet and bring him to ask God for forgiveness of his sins. Only God's work can do that. If we could only remember to trust God's word.
Amen.
We could only just have faith. Believe. Say, God, your word is powerful.
Amen.
I believe it's powerful. I'm going to preach it. Come what may. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what Christians may say. I'm going to believe it.
Amen.
Boy, I am so saddened by Christians that are against preaching the truth. I had a guy in Leon about 6 months ago. This is when we were preaching downtown still. And we'd already been having some problems with, a lot of problems with lost people coming up to us and giving us a hard time. And we'd already preached, and I was standing there talking to a group of people, about 20 people or so. And this man came up, and he starts arguing against me. I mean, one of the worst I've ever had. Just cutting me down. Talk to him nicely, you know, and be one with them. And you know the hogwash. On and on and on. I thought, you know, this guy, he's a very zealous Catholic. A very zealous lost man. Then he said, I'm a Christian just like you. Boy, that set me on fire. That made me so mad. I thought, here's this guy. He's a Christian, a so-called Christian. He's rebuking me, a fellow brother, according to him, in front of 25 lost souls,
yeah,
telling me how to preach the gospel. Now, whether I was right or whether I was wrong, whether my method was right or wrong, is not the case. I mean, as long as I'm preaching the true gospel and not another gospel, that was not the place to rebuke me.
That's right.
It should have been somewhere else. I've got a house. I've got a telephone. Call me up. I mean, come to my house and we'll talk about this. But this is not the place to argue about missionary methods.
Amen.
It's not the place.
Amen.
Come to my house and I'll receive you. I'll give you a cup of coffee. I won't charge you very much for it. I mean, just come over here. I'm not against it. I'm not against talking to Christians about how to preach the gospel or what method to use. We're not down there trying to condemn the whole Christianity about how they do things. I was so saddened by hearing that. And then afterwards, I just cut off that. I said, I'm not talking more. This is it. So I walked off and he came up to me again. Oh boy. He saw me again. He said, you know my apostle. He thinks his pastor's an apostle or something. Some great spiritual guy. He says, you know him. I said, yeah, I know him. He's my neighbor, by the way. But so I was telling me how. I said, listen. I said, that was not the place. I mean, you think I'm wrong? That's fine. I said, but come to my house and we'll talk about it. I said, I wouldn't ever go to your church or wherever you're trying to preach the gospel, wherever you're having some kind of a pantomime, and tell you, look, this ain't the way to reach them. I might go to your church. I might go to your house and tell you, but I wouldn't go to you. We didn't trust God. We did not trust God's word. He did not trust what God said. He thought it was being too harsh. This is being too hard. He used it to drive him away. I may drive a few away. The word of God might drive a few away. It might offend them. We don't preach to offend. We preach. They might know the truth.
That's right.
That when they leave, there's no doubt in their mind and no doubt in our mind that they heard the truth. That they heard what they have to know to be saved.
Amen.
It may not all sunk in. It may not all touch their heart. But we got to preach the gospel. And that's our responsibility. Just trust God's word. And trust God. He'll drive it into their heart.
Amen.
And show them.
Amen. That's right.
If God ain't going to do it, it won't do a bit of good. Or show have a pantomime. Or show some kind of a clown a circus or something. I mean, and there is all kinds of things in the world to get the gospel through. We rely on gimmicks instead of God's word.
That's right.
Oh, poor God. I mean, God can't do it, and we gotta help him out. We gotta, you know, give God a hand here. God can do it. He's able. Just trust his word.
Amen.
He will do it. Well, then he says the last thing is praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know, Peter, when they came against Jesus, he was all ready to fight. He got his sword out and whew, cut the guy's ear off. But you know, half an hour before that, he couldn't pray. He just came back 3 times. He said, won't you pray with me, Peter? Won't you just pray for an hour? Won't you pray for a short time? He said, pray with me. And Peter's sleeping. And now we are. And we can preach up a storm. We can believe God. But it's hard to pray. It's hard to pray always. Oh, it's easy to pray when we're in a great need. We talk about the lost world only turn to God when they have a great need. And we say, we tell them that they're just calling God whenever they're going to have trouble, or whenever their child is dying, or whenever they're very sick, they call on God. But when they don't need Him, they don't call Him. Isn't that how we are sometimes? I mean, when we're in trouble, when we think that, you know, that we finally can't do it alone, we call on God. But until then, we think, you know, we're gonna be able to get along. We'll be able to get along without God. And when it comes down to the bottom line, when it comes down to the time when we can't do it, we call on God. Paul says, praying always.
Amen.
Praying always. Some Adrian said, I think last year, in a conference, about prayer. Three things that I still remember. He said, we don't like to pray for three reasons. One of them is because it doesn't always make us feel good. You understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, well, if you really pray, if you really get on your knees and talk to God, open your heart to God, sometimes He's going to break you. Sometimes it's going to cost you. It's going to hurt you. You're going to say, God, I've been trying on my own, and I can't do it. And He'll break you if you're willing. Prayer doesn't always make you feel good. Oh, sometimes it does. We pray and we thank the Lord, but I mean, if you're really a prayer warrior, you're not always going to feel good about it. It'll tear you up. It'll chop you down. I mean, you think you're somebody, and then finally God drives you to your knees, and He makes you realize that you're not what you thought you were. Also, it doesn't always bring immediate results. I mean, we prayed for a long time about the work in Leon, and we didn't see anything. Now, we didn't know what God was doing on the hearts of men or inside people, but there wasn't nothing to see. We weren't seeing any results. And so, when no results come, it's hard to pray.
That's right.
It's easy to pray when you're seeing things. Oh God, save souls. Here comes some souls. Oh God, save more. Here comes some more. That's easy. But when you're going a year or two or 3 years and no souls are getting saved, yet God, where? Say, oh God, save more souls. Oh God, do this. Oh God, do that. It's hard to do it because there's no results. And the third thing, nobody sees it.
Yeah.
I remember that, brother. It's a blessing to me. Nobody sees it.
Yeah.
What do we want to do? We want to be seen of men, don't we? We want to be seen. I mean, set aside all your spirituality and admit we want to be seen. We want to be seen doing something. We want to be seen that we're preaching on the street, or that we're saying something, or that we're doing some great work. We want men to see it. But God says we already have a reward. You be careful. Praying always. Praying always. Although nobody sees it, although it makes you feel terrible, although it humbles you, and although there's no immediate results, praying always. That's what carries you through.
Amen.
Relying upon God. You know, prayer is just relying on God. Prayer is just saying, God, no, I can't do it on my own. I cannot do it. I mean, I know I'm going to be, you want to use me, but you got to use me. I mean, you've got to do it. It's got to be you that does it, because on my own I cannot do it. And so prayer is just relying on God. Prayer is saying, God, only you can do it. Spiritual armor. Spiritual weapons. And if you're in this battle and you're using carnal weapons, you're not going to make it, my
friend. That's right.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in this spiritual battle if you're relying on gimmicks or your own feelings or your own abilities or anything else that might be contrary to what Paul says here. And make sure you're not in the wrong battle. Make sure that the devil's not sidetracking you. As one of his wiles, he sidetracks you. Make sure you're not in the wrong battle. Get in the right battle and get prepared before it gets there. Don't go down to the battle with your gun in the suitcase and your grenades in the lock and key and your gun unloaded, because you're going to be too late when you get it out.
Amen.
You'll be shot. You'll be full of holes. Get ready.
Amen.
Before you get there. When you get there, you can stand. You can stand in the evil day because you put on the whole armor of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.